All right, good evening, everyone. So welcome back. Hoping that everyone had a beautiful Yom Tov, a little bit of a, I would say a little bit of a break, but the truth is Yom Tov and break don't necessarily go together. In any event, it's wonderful to be back learning with all of you. So we continue this week with Parshas Bahar. So, you know, normally what I try to do in this year is I try to go ahead and take a particular episode, a particular event that occurs in the parasha, and to try to analyze it to come out with a little bit of a deeper meaning. I'd like to try to do something actually a little bit different this week. And this week I want to draw your attention just to one simple pasuk. Well, at least at first glance, what appears to be a simple pasuk, but upon further examination, we're going to see is quite complex and actually quite profound. And that's number one. The Torah says, "Velo sonu ish es amiso." We'll just use the English translation over here. "And you shall not wrong one man to his fellow Jew. V'yareisa me'elokecha, you shall fear your God. You shall fear your God. Ki ani Hashem Elokechem. For I am Hashem the Lord, your God." Now the obvious question is, right, so what is the pasuk teaching me? I shouldn't wrong an individual. First of all, the most basic question is, what does that mean? Meaning the Torah is quite specific in the modes of interpersonal conduct. Remember, again, interestingly enough, the Torah used this same verbiage just a few psukim back, where the Torah uses this lashon of lo sonu, do not afflict or do not wrong. There the Torah uses it in a financial context. And the Torah teaches us the laws of ona'ah. The laws of ona'ah teach us that one may not overcharge for a particular purchase. Again, without getting into the technical details, but there's a certain amount of, let's say, write-up that the market allows for, markup that the market allows for. That's how you generate the profit. But if you charge, overcharge too much, that is a biblical prohibition. So we've already seen this. Torah tells us in many different ways. You saw in Parshas Kedoshim, where the Torah goes out of its way to tell us the things that we can and we cannot do in interpersonal sense, in a financial business sense. And here the Torah gives us this very open-ended statement. You shall not wrong another. So question number one is, what does that mean? Specifically, what is this referring to? And the follow-up question, which I think Regina mentioned in the back, was what is the last phrase of the pasuk? V'yareisa me'elokecha ki ani Hashem Elokechem. What does it have to do with anything? You shall fear God because I am Hashem your God. Why does that suffix, why does that end part, why does that end phrase, why is that necessary? Or what does it contribute to the meaning of the opening phrase of lo sonu ish es amiso? So I want to share with you a couple of different approaches. The first approach, probably the most well-known approach, is Rashi. So Rashi writes in number two, "Velo sonu ish es amiso." A person shall not wrong his fellow. "Kan hisir al ona'as dvarim." Here the Torah is telling me about wronging another individual verbally. What we have, remember I just mentioned before, we learned about ona'as mamon, that I cannot wrong someone by overcharging them financially. And here the Torah is telling me that it's not just enough to abstain from financially harming another, but one must also abstain from verbally harming another. How do you verbally harm another? So Rashi says, "Shelo yaknit ish es chaveiro, lo yasienu eitza she'eno hogenes lo ulefi darko v'hana aso shayoit." So Rashi says specifically, what does it refer to? Don't give someone bad advice. That sometimes someone asks me for advice, and the truth is, I can give them an answer that doesn't necessarily meet their needs, but it definitely what? Meets my needs. And says Rashi, again, remember, we often face circumstances like this, and there's an incredible challenge here, because one of the amazing things we're able to do is we're able to convince ourselves of certain realities, and we're able to convince ourselves that, in fact, the advice that I'm dispensing is really good for the other individual, when I know objectively it's not, but it's good for me. So Rashi says, that's what this specific prohibition is referring to. "Velo sonu ish es amiso, when dispensing advice, make sure the advice that you are giving benefits the other and is not made or is not dispensed in a self-serving fashion to benefit yourself. And he says, "V'im tomar," maybe a person will say, "Mi yodea im niskavanti l'ra." So maybe a person will say, the truth is, who's going to know? Who's going to know? At the end of the day, I'm going to give advice. And the fact is, it looks like I'm giving it for the benefit of the individual and I'm giving it for myself. Who's ever going to know the difference? Oh, therefore the Pasuk says, "Lekach ne'emar v'yareisa me'alokecha." Therefore the Pasuk ends by saying what? "And you shall fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hayodea machshavos hu yodea." You're right. Another individual may never find out. In fact, even the person whom you are giving the advice to may never ultimately realize that you didn't give them good advice. But at the end of the day, there is one entity that will know, and that's the Ribono Shel Olam. Your fellow man may not be able to read your thoughts, but the Ribono Shel Olam absolutely can, and the Ribono Shel Olam knows what your kavana is. And Rashi just ends off by saying, "Kol davar hamaser l'lev, she'ein ela mi shamachshava b'libo, ne'emar bo v'yareisa me'elokecha." And here Rashi says something very interesting, that in general, because this phrase, "you shall fear" or "you shall revere God," appears quite often in the Torah. Rashi says it almost always appears in the context of thought. A thought, because again, there are certain things that you could very easily trick another with. There are some things that you could very easily go ahead and present one way when in fact they're another. Whenever there is that ability to deceive someone by thinking that you're doing something in their best interest when in fact you're not, the Torah always adds in that caveat, you might be able to fool people, but you can never fool the Ribono Shel Olam. So therefore, again, our first verse according to Rashi, Lo Sonu is a specific prohibition against dispensing self-serving advice that is not in the best interest of the person to whom you are speaking. That's Rashi. Take a look at number three. The Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia takes us in a different direction. The Gemara says, and this is an amazing Gemara. The Gemara writes, Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Lo sonu ish es amito. Torah says, you shall not afflict your fellow. So the Torah says, the Gemara says, Ba'onas dvarim hakosuv medaber. So interesting enough, the Gemara uses the same phrase as Rashi. Remember this phrase, Ona'as dvarim. Now remember, how would we translate Ona'as dvarim? Verbal wrongs. Verbal wrongs. The word Ona'a means to wrong another. So Ona'as dvarim means wronging someone with your words, a verbal wrong. So the Torah, so the Gemara says, Haketzad, what's an example of wronging someone verbally? Listen to this. Im hayu ba'al tshuva. If a person was about tshuva. So what's about tshuva? Or who's about tshuva? Don't you have to raise your hand. Say, we all raise our hands. But the truth is, you know, we often think about tshuva in a very specific type of context of someone perhaps who grew up or spent some part of their life in a state of non-observance, and they became about tshuva. The truth is, every Jew, each of us has a goal of becoming a Baal Tshuva, because each of us do things wrong, and the Baal Tshuva is a person who's overcome the process of comprehensive, cathartic, true, lasting change. So for example, person was about tshuva, Al yomer lo, zichor ma'asecha harishon. So what don't you say to a Baal Tshuva? Don't say to a Baal Tshuva, so tell me, what was it like? Right? What was it like to be a Mechal Shabbos? Right? How did it feel to eat on Yom Kippur? You know, tell me, just between me and you, you know, tell me about it. You don't say those kind of things. We'll discuss why. Im Hayah Ben Gerim, if a person was a child of converts, Al Yomar Lo Zichor Ma'ase Avosecha. We don't say to that individual, well, what were your grandparents doing? Right? What were your parents doing? It's actually interesting, not our topic for today. The Torah has an acute sensitivity for the ger, for the convert. Why? Because as we know, Judaism is a very family-centric religion. Judaism is about Mesorah. It's about passing things down from one generation to the next. Judaism is about establishing families. When a person converts, at the end of the day, even if they continue a relationship with their biological family, there is now such a great divide between them and between the rest of their biological family. So therefore, again, when it comes to dealing with children of Gerim, Ben Gerim can literally mean the child of converts or a convert themselves. This is the child of converts. Person shouldn't say, oh, remember what your parents used to do. Okay. Im Hayah Ger, Uba Lomotora, someone themselves was a convert and they came to learn Torah. So what happens? Al yomer lo, don't say to them, Pesha achal nevelos atrefos, shkatzim v'amasim, ba lilmo torshanam v'priyakvura. So a convert shows up to learn Torah. You can't chas hashalom say to them, the mouth that ate nevelos and trefos, that mouth that ate all the different non-kosher things, that mouth that ate the shkatzim v'amasim, the creepy crawly things, is now going to go ahead and learn Torah that was given from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly, im hayu yisurin barnalav, this is a very profound piece. If a person is suffering, a person is undergoing a difficult time in life. Im hayu chaloim ba'inalov, a person is sick, a person is ill. Oh, shahaya mekaber es banav, mekaber, or chas v'shom, a person is burying their children, a person lost a child. Al yomer lo, kiderach sha'amru lo chaverev li'iyov. A person should not say to an individual who's suffering, either because of sickness, of tragedy, of loss of a child, a person should not speak to that person the way that Eov's friends spoke to him. How did Eov's friends speak to him? They said to Eov, Halo yir'ascha kisilascha, tikvasecha v'tam drachecha, zichorna mihu naki avad. So what Eov's friends essentially said to him when Eov was going through his trials and tribulations, his friends said to him, well, you know, Eov, the truth is, righteous people don't suffer. Right? And essentially, if you're suffering, it must mean what? It must mean that you have done something wrong. So the Gemara says, first of all, nobody really wants friends like that. That's what, and the Gemara says, don't do that. Don't say that. Whether or not it's theologically correct is irrelevant for now. What the Gemara is saying is, don't say it. Why don't say it? Simply, well, we'll discuss why, but on the most basic level, it's not helpful. It's not helpful, so don't say that. Another example, the Gemara says, "Im hayu chamarim mevakshin tivua mimenu." If let's say there are some merchants and the merchants want to buy wheat from me, lo yomer lahem, I shouldn't say to them, "Luchu etal plenu shumokar tivua viodeya bo shalom machal yolam." I shouldn't send them on a wild goose chase. I shouldn't send them and say, "Oh, you know what? I don't sell wheat, but Reuven sells wheat." When I know, in fact, that what Reuven does not sell wheat, or Reuven's out of wheat. So don't send them somewhere where at the end of the day, they won't be able to get what they're asking for. Rabbi Huda says, "Af lo yitle einav ala mekach." This is amazing. "Bisha'a she'ein lo damin." Do not go window shopping if you don't have your wallet. Right? Don't go shopping for an item. Don't go looking at it. Now, it could be today. I don't want to make anybody nervous. It could be that today it's different. Window shopping is a little bit more accepted. But what he's saying over here is don't walk into a store and start pretending that you're interested in something. If you don't have your wallet, you know, if you have your wallet on you, potentially you're going to buy it, of course. But if you don't have your, especially if you don't have your wallet on you, means you can't, even if you wanted it, you can't buy it. So don't then go in and start looking at the object. Why? Shahari hadavar masr lalev. Because all of these things are given over to the heart. Bichol, and we'll explain what that means in just a moment. Bichol davar hamasr lalev. Ne'emar bo v'yareis ha-melekecha. And whenever there is something that has to do with the way you think, the Torah always adds in the caveat that although your fellow man may not be fully aware of your intentions, the Ribono Shel Olam is, and therefore be careful. And I think the Gemara's examples are very dramatic. So remember, what the Gemara is telling us is that the prohibition number one, Lo Sonu Ish Es Amiso, refers to committing a verbal wrong against another. Don't abuse, don't hurt, don't destroy, don't demolish others with your words. But the Gemara is, now again, remember, the Gemara could have gone ahead and given just that statement. But yet the Gemara gives multiple examples. Why? Because the truth is, if you think about it, each of these examples really represent something else. Remember again, what was the first example of the Gemara? Someone is about Shuvah. So what is it if you're there is about Shuvah? That don't go and remind them about their past. Or in other words, don't taunt a person about things that they cannot change. We all have things in life. You know, if there was one wish we all had, what would be the one wish? One wish. Right? If you can imagine if you can go back and start again. Go back and start again. Right? Come to the world armed with all the knowledge I know now. And now I could go ahead and I could avoid all the mistakes that I made. And I could go and do better all the things. We all have things from our past that we would love to take back. And the truth is, each of us are saddled in our own ways with certain past realities that we cannot change, but yet they stay with us. And for some of us, they haunt us, and they haunt us every day, or they haunt us every year, and we can't do anything about it. So the Gemara says, you have to be sensitive to the fact that everybody carries around baggage. And the difficult part about baggage is not as much as you have baggage, but it's what? It's what? That you can't do anything about it. So do not exacerbate a person's baggage by reminding them of it, because it just amplifies the pain about their inability to do anything to remedy it. What else? The Gemara says, a person comes from Gerim. Again, don't remind them of the past. Same thing. Sometimes, I'm not saddled with my own baggage, but you know what? Whose baggage I am saddled with? Saddled with my family's baggage. I didn't choose this family. I was born into this family, and it could be the family has incredible baggage. Don't remind a person, don't bring up to a person about their familial baggage. Why? Because a person essentially is powerless to do anything about that. Again, amazing enough, the Gemara says, what was the next example? If somebody converted, so what happens? Don't tell them the same mouth that ate the cheeseburgers and the this and the that is now going to learn Torah that came from the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is the Gemara? What is Chazal saying? Don't tell a person that because of their past mistakes, they've compromised their future. You know, part of the beauty that we believe as a people is that no matter how many times you mess up, no matter how many times you commit some wrong, some evil, some terrible thing, no matter how many times you keep on repeating the same mistakes, redemption and salvation is available to every individual who wants it. And no matter how many times you fall, you never permanently close the door on yourself. So to say to the individual converted, how can you learn Torah? Look where that mouth has been. Look what that mouth has done. Look what that individual has ingested into their body. Okay, the person has that baggage. That's their baggage. But at the end of the day, our past mistakes do not compromise, handicap, or limit our future. Next, what did the Gemara say? Don't do to Eov. Don't do to someone who's suffering what Eov's friends did to him. Very important lesson. Never pretend to be God. You would be surprised how many times well-meaning people try to go ahead and help another by offering profound theological insights as to why things are happening to that individual. It's a terrible idea. Terrible idea because truth is, most probably you're wrong, because no one knows the cheshbonos of the Ribono Shel Olam. And what people don't realize is, when you try to give insight into the workings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the end of the day, you run the risk of hurting someone. Because often God does things that cause us an incredible amount of pain. And when you come and you offer to me your theological insights as to why that pain is happening to me, very often it amplifies that pain. So the Gemara is saying, don't hurt the feelings of another by pretending to be God and pretending to know more than you actually do. And lastly, what was the last example the Gemara gave? Last example was, two last examples, is that the wheat, right? If somebody comes to buy wheat from me and I don't have wheat, but I'm going to send them to Reuven, but I know Reuven doesn't have it. Or what happens? Or I'm shopping and I feign interest in that item when I have no intention to buy it. What are Chazal saying? Don't waste people's time. Don't waste people's time. At the end of the day, again, you're just talking about a person who has no intention of buying. A person has intention, that's one thing. But don't waste a person's time either by promising or indicating something that you either don't know or you have no intention to do. So what the Gemara really is highlighting over here is something so profound. The Gemara is saying, Torah is giving us an explicit prohibition, a lav, about how we are able to use our words vis-a-vis the other. Don't do anything that is going to taunt a person or bring up a person factors that he or she cannot change. Don't go ahead and tell a person, don't create glass ceilings for people by telling them that their past activities or behavior limit their future potential. Don't pretend to be God. And don't waste people's time by promising things that you have no intention of delivering. Looking number four. So this is a very interesting, a little bit of an obscure perush. This is a perush of Rav Baruch HaSfardi. So you can see over here, I included a little bit of a biography over here about him. So Rav Baruch HaSfardi has a beautiful insight into this Gemara. And he says the following. If you skip down a little bit, he says, skip down three lines right after the paragraph. Perush. So Rav Baruch HaSfardi says, I'm going to tell you exactly what this means. Perush, kishetola ein of b'mekach, choshev bal ha-mekach shelokcho. Because what happens, if I'm a merchant of a store, and you come into my store and you're looking around at my wares, so what do I assume? I get my hopes up, I get excited that you're going to make a purchase. The chevan, she'ein lo damim, ein lokcho. And since you, the purchaser, don't have your wallet on you, obviously you're not going to be purchasing it. Umitzta'er bal ha-mekach. And what does that do? that causes pain to the merchant. Shahari Masar Hadavar Lilibo. Because what happens now is interesting. The way Rabbi Chassardi understands this phrase, Masar Hadavar Lilibo, means what? The merchant will take it to heart. You see, for the potential customer who doesn't buy it, so what happens? All right, I'm not buying it. And what happens after that? Yeah. Nothing. I go on with my life and nothing has changed in my life. For the store owner, what's happened? So dashed hopes. Now the truth is, you don't know what's happening in that store owner's life. You don't know what's happening. For him, perhaps maybe he'll see this just as yet another failure. Maybe he'll see this yet as just another setback. Maybe he's had a rough day. Maybe he's had a rough week. Maybe he's had a rough life. You don't know what his circumstances are. And so to you, what looks like as some innocent interest in something which you don't really have intentions to buy, for that proprietor, could represent a significant life setback. And that could harm him. Hadavar Masar Lilibo, he may take that to heart. And the truth is, such an incredible yesod in life in general. Sometimes things happen, and it turns out that we adversely affected an individual, and the individual is so hurt. And what happens? We think to ourselves, what is the big deal? Right? I said something a little bit different, or I was... And sometimes we feel that a person has an exaggerated response to that which we did. And the truth is, sometimes it is an exaggerated response. But what Rabbi Chassardi is saying is, why do people sometimes have exaggerated responses? Because they have a whole bunch of other stuff going on in their life. So to you, when you're looking at this in a vacuum, you only did one little thing, that the truth is not a big deal. But for everything that's going on in this person's life, that could have been the straw that broke the camel's back. It's davar masar lilibo. People internalize things. Says Rabbi Chassardi, when you look around and you browse the merchandise, but you don't have your wallet on you, therefore there's no possibility for you to buy, every moment that you spend looking at that object, the merchant is getting excited. And maybe that's the only excitement he's had that day. Maybe his life is difficult. And when you walk out, for all you know, you've exacerbated the pain of a person who's already having a challenging existence. Therefore, Chazal say, be careful. Hadavar Masar Lilibo. He goes on. V'chaldavar ha-masar lalev, excuse me, v'chaldavar ha-masar l'tza'er ha-lev, and anything for which there is the ability to cause another person pain, ne'emar bo v'yarei samei elokecha. The Torah always adds in, you shall fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ha ko'osan dvarim, because all the things mentioned in the Gemara, the ben gerim, ukiyote bahem, ein bahem ela tza'er ha-lev. What's interesting is, in all the things mentioned in the Gemara, right? So did I actively do anything wrong? Have I actively and adversely affected another individual? No. It's just words. But it says, Rabbi Chassardi, you see from here, that sometimes the most profound damage you could cause to someone is tsar halev, is emotional damage. The dvar of Abraham Shemchova, the alma, basar tsar halev azlina. So Rabbi Chassardi says something so amazing. We so often think that the greatest pain you could cause another is physical pain, is physical damage, is financial pain. Rabbi Baruch HaSfaradi says, you know what the Torah is telling us? Lo sonu ish es amito. You know why? You know why you can't verbally wrong another? Because sometimes the greatest pain you cause another is not with a physical wound, because physical wounds often heal. Sometimes the greatest pain you cause another is not financial wound, financial harm. Why? Baruch Hashem, people could always make more money. But sometimes the hurt that lingers longest, sometimes the hurt that remains the most profound is the tsar halev, is when you hurt someone emotionally, when you hurt someone with your words, when you say something that has not created a new reality, you haven't really done anything all that different, but at the end of the day, you've caused the person tsar halev, says Rabbi Chassardi, that is profound. And now listen to this. Based on this, remember, how does the pasuk end? V'yarei sameh elokecha. According to Baruch HaSfaradi, why is Yerei Samei Elokecha there? Because you might think to yourself, well, you know, what's the big deal? It was just words. I mean, come on, what is the big deal? I browsed the merchandise, you're right, I didn't have my wallet on me, but what is the big deal? Or I jested, you know, I joked around with the ger about this, or I offered a profound theological insight to a person who's suffering. What is the big deal? The answer is, it may not sound like a big deal to you, but the Ribon Shel Olam says, it's a big deal to me. Because when I see my children suffering, you know, the amazing part is all of us walk around with some amount of tsar halev. We all have tsaras of some sort. Some of us big tsaras, some of us small tsaras. So we all have a little bit of tsar. And the truth is, what most of us do in life is what? we mask that tzar. We know most of us don't wear the tzar on the sleeves. We don't like to speak about it because the truth is, other people often don't really want to hear about you. You can feel free to talk to me about your tzar. I'm happy to hear about, not happy to hear about it, but I'm happy to listen to you. But most people don't really want to hear the problems of others. That's why, again, you know, you always run into that person when you ask them, so how are you doing? I say, oh, how am I doing? Right? You better get comfortable. How am I doing? And what's people's reaction to people like that who actually tell you how they're doing? Generally, people stop asking them how they're doing. Right? Because at the end of the day, most people are busy with their own peckle. They're busy with their own challenges. They don't really want to hear about yours. So most of us keep our tzar halev to ourselves. But there is one entity in this world that knows every single bit of tzar, and that's the Ribono Shel Olam. So Ribono Shel Olam says to us, let me tell you something. When you cause another person pain, that person will go to put on, they'll put on a good face. They'll put on the right, they'll put on a strong facade. I'm the one who sees the broken heart. I'm the one who sees the pain. I'm the one who sees the tears that no one else sees. I'm the one who sees the neshama that is searing with pain. I see the collateral damage from when you hurt. So to you, it might not look like a big deal. To you, sending someone on a wild goose chase might not look like a big deal. To you, giving someone the impression that because of their past actions, they've handicapped or limited their future, to you, that might not seem like a big deal because it's words after all. But the Ribono Shel Olam says, let me tell you, I am the Bochen Levavos. I know what's in the heart of man. I see the pain. I see the angst. I see the anguish. And I'm telling you not to do it. Because I'm asking you, Ribono Shel Olam says, I'm asking you not to cause that pain because I am settled with that pain. That's V'yarei Sameh Elokecha. The words might not seem like such a big deal to you, but they're a big deal to me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because I am the one who sees the heart of man, and I am able to see the tsar that so often we mask from one another. Now, what's interesting about this is obviously so far, our Rav Baruch HaSradi is talking about on a very basic interpersonal idea. So Rav Baruch HaSradi is telling us that, again, this is a dinin bein adam l'chaveiro, interpersonal conduct. Do not go ahead and say something to another individual that could be hurtful. Why? Why? It's only words. What's the answer? The answer is because don't contribute to the personal pain that an individual has to carry around in life. We all carry our personal pain. Don't contribute to the load of another via resa melokecha, because I am God and I see the pain and the pain pains me. When you pain someone else, by extension, you ultimately pain the Ribono Shel Olam. But there's an interesting societal ramification for this as well. If you look at number five, so the Sefer HaChinuch writes, he says in 5 Aleph, Shelo lahonos, echad mi yisrael b'dvarim. You should not wrong another with words. Kilomar, shelo ne'emar li yisrael dvarim, sheyach ivehu v'yatziruhu ve'ein bo koach li azar ne'am. So it's actually very interesting. The Sefer HaChinuch adds in one more piece, which we alluded to in the Gemara. This specifically refers to things that people cannot change. Now, the reason why the Sefer HaChinuch is saying this is really very important. Because remember, there is a mitzvah of Hocheach tochiach esamisech. That's a mitzvah of rebuke. Mitzvah of rebuke, which is very, just as an aside, it's very countercultural. Because the truth is, we live in a society that believes in live and let live. You know, I shouldn't judge you, you shouldn't judge me, we should all do whatever we want. Judaism does not believe in that. There's right and there's wrong. And if you love someone, then if you see them doing something wrong, you want to point that out to them. Not as a way of giving them a shtach, not as a way of showing that you're better, but as a way, because same way if my child runs across the street without looking both ways, I have to explain to them, I have to rebuke them why that was wrong, because I love them, I don't want them to make a mistake. And we're supposed to love each other to the point that when we see another one of our own making a mistake, it's not good for you, I don't want you to do that. So in the Chinuch is saying is, even though there's a mitzvah of Ocheach Tocheach HaMisecha, that mitzvah only applies to circumstances that a person could change. If you look at all of the things in the Gemara, these are things that people cannot change. Those kind of things, says the Sefer HaChinuch, don't bring them up, because all they serve to do is what? Generate additional pain. Why? Look what the Sefer HaChinuch writes. Now, obviously, the obvious why is as the Sefer Baruch HaSfaradi, because don't contribute to the peckle of pain that each of us has to carry around in life. And when you do that, you adversely affect God. But the Sefer HaChinuch adds in something else. Look at 5 base. Shoresh mitzvah zu yodua. The essence of this mitzvah is known. Ki hu lo seis shalom ben abrios. What's the point of this prohibition? in order to create peace among God's creations. The Gadol HaShalom, Shalom is very important. Shebo HaBracha Mitsuya Ba'olam V'Kasha Machlokes. Shalom is very important because only when there is Shalom is there peace in the world. And we know Machlokes is quite terrible. Kama Klolos Takolos Tuluyos Bo. So the Sefer Achinuch is something very interesting. He says, do you know why you're not supposed to pain another? Because if people are always bringing up painful topics for the other, then what happens? That erodes at communal shalom. If there's no, or I should say even societal shalom. In order for us to be able to interact with one another, there has to be a basic kindness in our interpersonal conduct. If there's not kindness in our interpersonal conduct, it's not just the pshat of the Sefer Achinuch that I'm hurting someone's feeling. What am I doing? I am eroding and undermining the very foundation of society. Without shalom, there's no society. And in fact, again, if you look at number 6, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos explicitly says this. The Mishnah writes, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Al Shlosha Dvarim HaOlam Omeid. The world stands on 3 things. Al Hadin, justice, Emes, truth, and shalom. Shneemar, Emes U'mishpat Shalom Shaptu B'Sha'areichem. Meaning, what is the Mishnah saying? What is Shimon Gamliel saying? You can't have a society without peace, without shalom. And you can't have shalom if people don't know how to interact with each other. So what we have over here, so far, if we take these two approaches, we have two, actually, we'll leave the first approach now for just a little bit. What comes out from the second approach is the following yisod, that lo sonu ish es amiso is a very specific prohibition against verbally wronging another. But it's a specific prohibition against reminding people of things they cannot change, or according to Rabbi HaSfardi, about going ahead and reminding people of things, or telling people that because of past actions, they limited their future, or telling people ultimately things that will cause what he calls tsar halev. Don't cause people anguish. You should just know also, that's why the halacha also says, you know, it's interesting, sometimes people like to be like on top of the news. I mean, just like, I don't mean like the news. I mean, just like news of what's going on. And people like to be the first one to deliver all kinds of information, even negative information. You know, Chazal say, never be the bearer of bad news. Don't be the bearer of bad news. Now, why not? A person is going to find out about it anyway. Because I don't have to be the individual that causes someone else tsar halev. Even though, again, at the end of the day, all I'm doing is delivering information that is already out there. But another person's tsar doesn't have to come through me. Rabbi Chasradi says, that's what Moshe Shalom is saying. You may not see it because people mask it, but God says, I'm telling you that it's there. Be sensitive to the fact that everybody carries around their peckle. Everybody carries around their bundle of pain. Don't heap on more to another. Just because they look happy, just because they look normal, just because it looks like everything is fine, all of us have stuff that we keep inside. We all know it. Don't add on to someone's bundle. Last approach, and then we'll bring everything together. So, for this last, I want to give you a little bit of an introduction to this. If you look at the Rambam and Hilchos Deos, the Rambam says something very interesting. He says, "Umishu medaktek al atzmo biyoser." The Yisrachek, now again, just understand this, in Hilchos Deos, what the Rambam talks about over here is what he calls the Derech HaMamutza, the middle path. The Rambam writes that most things in life, you have to find some level of moderation. You have to find the middle path to traverse. There are a couple of exceptions to this, where the Rambam encourages us to be a little bit more of an extremist, like let's say, for example, by kas, by anger. The Rambam says a person should be an extremist in terms of not getting angry. But in general, the derech we try to take in most things is the middle path. However, he says, "Umishu midaktik alatzo biyoser." But let's say someone is exceedingly midaktik, is meticulous with himself or herself. V'yisrachek mideya benonis ma'at litzadzeh o litzadzeh. And a person doesn't take the middle path, but a person chooses to be a little bit stricter, a little bit more meticulous with themselves. The Rambam says, Zenikra Chassid. Such a person is called a Chassid. So what's a Chassid in Maimonian, in the Maimonian construct? A person who goes above and beyond that which is expected. So the expectation is the middle path. The Chassid is a little bit more meticulous himself. He gives examples. He says, Kesad, Mishi Yisrachik Migova Halev, Ad hakotza acharon via shafuruch bioser nikra chassid zel midos chassidus. So right, so for example, arrogance. So it's interesting because a person is supposed to have a little bit of arrogance. Why? Because if you don't have any, a little bit of arrogance is healthy because it can lead one to develop a healthy sense of self, a healthy amount, a healthy degree of self-worth. No arrogance runs the risk of becoming a shmata, of becoming a nothing. But interestingly enough, the Rambam writes that someone who totally just divests himself of any semblance of arrogance, any semblance of hubris, any semblance of ego, such a person is called a chassid. And in fact, if you take a look at number 8, the Rambam, in a totally different context, writes a similar idea. V'im haya chassid va'ose lifnim mishuras hadin. So that phrase, lifnim mishuras hadin, means someone who goes above and beyond. So what comes out according to the Rambam is the definition of a chassid is someone who goes above and beyond the expectations. Okay, now that we have this definition, take a look at number 9. This is going to blow you away. So look at this. So this is from the Otzer HaChassidus, isn't this? Chassid mihu. So they asked, we'll see, what's the definition of a chassid? So what's the definition of a chassid? Now again, we're not talking about a chassid. And again, the general term, what is the definition of piety? What is the definition of true piety? So the answer is, ha'ose lifnim mishuras hadin. Someone who goes above and beyond. That's what Rambam said. So remember again, you could be a good Jew by simply doing what's expected, keeping to the middle path. The chassid is the person who goes above and beyond. So listen to this. Amar me'ata darash harebi, Reb Simcha bunim apshischa. So Reb Simcha bunim apshischa, Reb apshischa was a Talmud of Reb Menachem Mendel of Kotsk, of the Kotsker. So Reb Simcha bunim apshischa said like this. If a chassid is someone who goes above and beyond, so watch this. Shelo yona adam es achirim ze'adim. So what is the halacha? The halacha is, as we saw, number 1, lo sonu ish es amiso. The halacha is, you may not hurt another. You may not verbally harm another. You may not damage another. That's the halacha. So how does the chassid, so now again, I don't want to just be a regular Jew. I want to be a chassid, I want to be pious. So how do I perform this mitzvah with absolute piety? Right? The Rebbe, Yipsich HaVarim Pshischa, ulifnim mishuras adin, shelo yone es atzmo. Says something so beautiful. If the mitzvah is, do not verbally harm another. If the mitzvah is, do not damage another. If the mitzvah is, do not destroy another. You know what the chassid is? You know what lifnim mishuras adin is? Don't damage yourself. That the same way that you're so careful about not adding to the pain of another, about not saying something that would adversely affect the other, the same way that you're so careful about not compounding or amplifying the tsar halev of another, make sure that you're kind to yourself as well. Look at this. So take a look at number 10. What does this mean? So if you take a look at number 10, there's an amazing Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Va'al tihi rasha bifnei atzmecha. So Rabbi Shimon says, do not be like a rasha in your own eyes. Don't be a rasha in your own eyes. So what's the pshat? Take a look at number 11. So Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, the former chief rabbi of Israel, the pleasant rabbi, chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, has a beautiful commentary on Pirkei Avos. And in it he writes the following. Perushin, he quotes the Rambam. Al tachzik atzmecha ki rasha. What does it mean that you should not consider yourself like a rasha? Shemitoch kach atayote letarbus ra'a ligamre. Says the Rambam, because if you consider yourself a Russian, then what will happen? You will behave negatively. If your self-perception, if you perceive yourself as evil, then it's only a matter of time until you do negative things. Kasher adam margish atzmo, pachus erech. When a person feels that he's not worthy, a person feels that he doesn't measure up. Rasha v'chote, I'm a Russian, I'm a sinner. Harehu roe ba'atzmo, mikra avut. Rav Soloveitchik discusses this extensively in his essays on tshuva, and the Rav writes that the greatest obstacle to tshuva is what he calls the sinner mentality. What's the sinner mentality? A person does negative things, and after a while, a person feels, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I'm a nothing. I'm a nothing. You know what? The only thing I'm actually good at life is what? Sinning. I'm an exceptionally proficient sinner. I can give in-service classes for sinning. I know how to do this. I do it well. It happens to be enjoyable as well. Says the Rav, that is the end of a person. Because the moment that a person begins to feel that they're not worthy, there's no catalyst to change. So Rabbi Lau says the same idea. The moment that a person feels that he doesn't measure up, that he's worthless, that he's not worthy, that he's a rush, that he's a chote, so ultimately he becomes mikravet, he becomes forlorn and lost. Hadavar meviu lideyush. A person ultimately could give up any kind of hope of possibly rehabilitating themselves. V'hatotzahi sheshuv eino choshesh lachto. Now it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because once you say to yourself that you're not worthy, once you say to yourself that you're nothing, once you say to yourself the only thing you know how to do is sin, then what ends up happening? You pave the way for what? For more sin and more detrimental activity. Kashera adam shari b'matzol shayeyush, ein dover sheis sheyatzor es hemshech haydartrus. When a person feels, when a person is in a state of forlorn and despair, I've given up any hope of possibly changing myself, I've given up any hope of becoming a better person, that just opens the door for greater, more sustained sin. Turn the page. Hu eino motzei od tam behemshech halimud. A person figures to himself, why should I learn anymore? All right, or betfilo basiyas atov. A person gives up on why should I learn anymore? Why should I daven? Why should I do chesed? Ki ledato memela in sikui sheyetsa mimenu masher tov. Because at the end of the day, why do we learn? Why do we daven? Why do we engage in chesed? Why do we engage in spiritual activity? The hope is that we build ourselves up. But that those activities are only worthwhile if a person feels that they are capable of becoming something great, something significant. But if I've thrown in the towel on my life, if I've given up on myself, and essentially I see myself as a Rasha, as a Chodei, then why should I do these things? Then why should I do these things? Then why should I daven? Then why should I learn? You know, it's a very important yisod. Well, let's finish. He says, Hanafila lizuroos hayeyush kamoha kinafila letahom. Falling into the grasp of despair is like falling into the great depths. You know, it's a very important yisod. When you see people, by the way, and just, I don't mean to make a generalization, because it's not true in every case, but it's true very often. When you see people who become disenchanted with Judaism, people who become disenchanted with Yiddishkeit, with Torah mitzvos, it's very often because a person doesn't have a healthy sense of self. Because a person doesn't feel that they're worth it. So if I don't feel that I'm worth anything, then what is the point of doing all these things? Why should I do mitzvos if I'm not going to measure up? Why should I do mitzvos if I'm never going to be good in the eyes of God? Why should I learn Torah if all I am in my own self-estimation and self-perception is a Russia? What's the point? These are tools for growth. Tools for growth are only helpful for people who have the capacity to grow. But if I don't feel that I have the capacity to grow, then what is the point of all of these things? And therefore, says Rabbi Lau, that's Rabbi Shimon's coming along and saying. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying, "Umipaneha mashir hatana ba'omro al tihi rasha b'fnei atzmecha." Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is saying, be careful. Yes, we sin. Yes, we make mistakes. Yes, we make repeated mistakes. But just because I make mistakes, it's very important to sow. You know, when your child does something wrong, so one of the simplest parenting mistakes that people make is what? What's the one thing you never tell a child? You never tell a child that they're bad. No child is bad. Every child is good. Every human being is good. People have to tell a child you did something bad. Because when you tell the child you're bad, what the child just heard is my parent thinks I'm bad. You tell, you know, Chaim, Yankel, Shlaimi, Rivka, Sara, you know, you spilled the milk on the floor because you weren't, that's really bad. Please don't do that again. I'm saying the act is not good. The person is absolutely beautiful and wonderful. That's what Shimon Gamliel is saying. Alti Russia, of course, Shimon Gamliel is not ignoring the fact that we sin. We all sin. We all do negative things. We all have a lot we have to do tshuva for. But at the end of the day, no matter how much sinful baggage I have, I'm not a Russia. I may do things that might look a little bit like rishos. I may do things that may look very negative or very bad, but I am not a Rasha. My persona, my identity is good, despite the fact that I may have done very many negative things. Look at the last paragraph. Yisei Remizu, im adam choshev shebekaf, shumargish atzmo Rasha, harei bala nava. That is interesting. Maybe you'll say to yourself, well, thinking of yourself like a Rasha, perhaps is a display of humility. Sometimes humility is wrong as well. Too much humility is not good also. This would be misplaced humility. Negative self-image is an incredible existential threat to the future of an individual. And it goes against the very fabric and core of Judaism. Such a profound yisod. So what you have over here is, remember, you have the Pesuk Rabbanu Kshiska telling us that what? That what we learn from Lo Sonu Ish Es Ach Isa Es Amiso. Yes, the halacha is I can't wrong another. And if I want to be a chassid, I want to go get Nimshus Shus, then what's the next step up? Don't wrong yourself. How do we wrong ourselves? So one of the simple ways we wrong ourselves is that we have negative self-perception. We have a negative image of ourselves, that sometimes we think that because we've done something wrong, which we all do, that makes us bad people. It's not true. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, Al tihi rasha b'ifnei atzmecha. No matter how much bad you've done in life, don't look at yourself as a rasha. You're not a rasha. You might have done things that are rishus, but that does not make me evil. It does not make me bad. It means I'm a good person who has a lot of spiritual rehabilitation to undergo. If you take a look at number 12, Rabbi Twersky has a beautiful insight. He says the following. He says, in psychology, we distinguish between guilt and shame. Guilt is a distressful sensation resulting from the awareness that one has done something wrong. Healthy guilt can lead to tshuva, to making amends for the wrong, and to take preventative measures to avoid a recurrence. Shame, on the other hand, is a sensation that one is somehow bad, even though one may not be able to identify why he should think of himself as being bad. To put it another way, guilt is a statement. I made a mistake. Whereas shame is a statement, I am a mistake. In the latter case, no corrective action can be taken, since one has no idea of what must be corrected. If I am a mistake, if I am a Rasha, there's nothing more to talk about. Shame can lead to despair. In several of my writings, I pointed out the need for self-esteem. A person should feel that he is inherently good. Regardless of what may have transpired in the past, a person is always capable of doing good, redeeming oneself, and achieving a high level of spirituality. To think about oneself as if one were bad means that one knows that he is indeed good, but that he may have committed some wrongs which need correction. Listen to this insight. Our Mishnah uses the term Al tihi rasha bifnei atzmecha. Bifnei atzmecha, now we translate it as literally, bifnei means inside or in front of yourself. Rabbi Twersky writes, which means that one should not think of one's essence as being bad, because this may lead to despair of doing good. Such a beautiful insight. So, al tihi rasha bifnei atzmecha means, do not ever think of yourself as a rasha, bifnei, on the inside of your etzem. Know that no matter what you do in life, your inner core is preserved. Your inner core is there. The good absolutely, unequivocally exists no matter how many times I've committed wrong. So if we bring this all together, what comes out, and the truth is, this is the amazing part of our Torah. Because if you go back to number one, you'll see again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, from 11 simple words come out 3 profound life lessons. A lesson number one, according to Rashi, is be careful when you dispense advice. Very often when we dispense advice, we have to do a self-check. Because sometimes people come to us for advice, and we think we're giving them the right advice for them, but sometimes we're really giving them the right advice for us. Be careful with the advice you dispense, and make sure that it is right for the individual to whom you are dispensing it. Lesson number one. Lesson number two. Everybody carries around with them tsar halev. We all have pain. Do not compound or amplify the pain of another. Don't go ahead and taunt people or talk to people about things they cannot change. Don't tell people that because of past bad past decisions that they've limited their future ability. Don't play God. Don't waste people's time. Because all of those things only serve one purpose, and that's to amplify their tsar. Everybody's already carrying around the peckle of pain. Don't add on to someone's peckle. Lest you say, oh, what's the big deal? It's only words. V'yareisam elokecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't see their pain, but I see their pain. I carry that pain as well. So for my sake, I'm asking you not to add to the peckle of pain of another. And finally, our third approach. If the mitzvah ultimately is not to verbally wrong another, then remember, says the Rambam, the midah of chasidus is to go above and beyond. How do we go above and beyond in this mitzvah? If the mitzvah is not to harm another, going above and beyond is what? Don't harm yourself. Make sure that you are kind to yourself. So many people walk through life beating themselves up. Now, again, it's good to beat yourself up a little bit, because that's ultimately a good way of rousing myself to be a little bit more. But sometimes people beat themselves down too much. Sometimes people are too hard on themselves. And says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, if you're too hard on yourself, you run the risk of becoming a rasha b'fnei atzmecha. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, al tirasha b'fnei atzmecha. Acknowledge your evil. Acknowledge what you do. Acknowledge the wrong. Acknowledge the shortcomings. But understand those actions do not frame my identity. No matter how many negative things I do, my identity is one of good. My identity of one is purity. My identity is one of holiness. I have to take certain corrective actions, but that doesn't make me a bad person. Guilt is very helpful, because guilt ultimately is what gets us up and gets us to change. Shame is debilitating, because to say I made a mistake, very helpful. To say I am a mistake, I fall into the clutches of yesh, of despair, and it's very difficult to dig out from that hole. So if the mitzvah ultimately is to be careful with the feelings of another, and to not only not push down on us, but to help realize that everybody has their peckle, do what I can to alleviate a little bit of their pain, the midas chasidus is to make sure that we look upon ourselves in a positive way and build ourselves up as well. All right, we'll stop over here. There will not be a shiur next week. Next week is the Avas Yisrael event at 8 o'clock. I strongly encourage everyone who can to really attend that event. It's the first time Avas Yisrael has done a communal event like this, which just speaks to the incredible need within our community. That is next week, 8 o'clock at Beth Tefillah. I think if you go into the Avas Yisrael website, you can see all the information there. And Amir Sashem, we will resume the following week. There's Marav in the Beit Medrash, whoever needs.
Thank you. Thank you once again for enhancing our Sikha, you and your wife. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I love it.